1420 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. In Chicago, at least 99 deaths have been confirmed in Maui's wildfires, and Hawaii's governor says that number could climb as crews still search hard-hit Lahaina. FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell says their focus now is on providing shelter and financial relief to survivors.
We do have adequate funding to do the response that we're doing right now, but we will need additional funding to ensure that all of our other recovery projects can continue and not get delayed until the next fiscal year.
KCBS-TV's Rutabaga Shahbazi is in Maui.
Frustrations mount about why the alarm system, which was a very sophisticated system, didn't sound as people ran for their lives and flames engulfed Lahaina. Also, we're hearing the fire hydrants ran out of water and people are not able to get back in and see their loved ones and what's remaining of their home and their belongings.
Raging wildfires in Texas prompt the governor there to issue a disaster declaration for nearly 200 counties. Reporter Chris Fox.
So far, over 500 fires have burned about 70,000 acres in Texas. More than 95 fire departments from over 75 cities have been deployed to respond to the wildfire activity across the state. Governor Abbott saying he issued the disaster declaration to surge the deployment of additional resources to the 191 counties currently experiencing dangerous conditions. According to the Texas A&M Forest Service, wildfire activity is expected to continue as high temperatures, heavy winds, and severe drought conditions persist. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
A grand jury in Georgia has heard testimony in the election subversion investigation into former President Trump. Also, there was a brief appearance on a Fulton County website of a list of criminal charges against the former president and that prosecutors later disavowed. That document was quickly withdrawn. The Navy's chief has relinquished command, but his replacement is still being held up in the Senate. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says it's time for the Senate to confirm this and other nominations.
The sweeping hold is undermining America's military readiness.
Nominations are being held up by Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville, who's protesting the Pentagon's abortion travel policy. A heads up for those who may be on popular weight loss drugs.
People who take drugs like Wegovy or Ozempic for weight loss may face life-threatening complications if they need procedures that require empty stomachs for anesthesia. Doctors say they're seeing an increase of patients on the weight loss drugs who inhaled food and liquid into their lungs while sedated because their stomachs were still full. This even after following instructions to not eat up to 8 hours in advance. The drugs can slow digestion so much that it puts patients at increased risk for the problem called pulmonary aspiration, which can cause dangerous lung damage and even death.
This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker, and each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Parents, are you tired of helping put your kids' shoes on? They're squirming, watching cartoons, anything but helping. Luckily, it's Skechers to the rescue. Introducing new hands-free Skechers slip-ins. Footwear you can just get your kids to step into and their shoes are on. You don't need to bend over. You don't need to sit on the floor and try to wrangle them on. And they're available in all types of Skechers styles with and without laces, and most are machine washable. Find Skechers slip-ins for kids or mom and dad at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly could. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil.
As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 50. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lots of sunshine tomorrow, highs around 78. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night, lows around 56. Mainly sunny Wednesday with highs around 84. 76 chance for scattered storms Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 61.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your News Talk and Sports Station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
Here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 50. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lots of sunshine tomorrow, highs around 78. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night, lows around 56. Mainly sunny Wednesday with highs around 84. 76 chance for scattered storms Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 61.
50% approval to become law. Yes, a 40% minority of voters could nullify the majority will of the people. This is Jim Hightower saying this gaming of the system by devious Republican officials and far-right extremists has become their core political strategy across the country. It's actually a deeply embarrassing admission by them. They are conceding that they are now captives of ideological extremism and outright nutballism, making their party so completely out of touch with the American majority that they can't win honestly. So they've become the anti-democracy party, acting as rabid political veterinarians out to fix democracy by neutering the power of the people.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So Arkansas has joined the Florida gang. Evidently, the Arkansas Department of Education has decided that no more AP African American studies courses. And again, this is another one of those moments where you go, and who's behind all this? How much big money is pushing this? But it's been reported, and unlike with every other AP class on offer, the state would not cover the $90 cost at the end of the year for the test, of giving the students the opportunity to qualify for college credit. This, again, is another one of these weird moments where if you're a teacher, you know, what do you teach in this day and age? You know, as we're now seeing all of this stuff coming out of Florida, which, you know, is part of a national game plan to destroy public education. It's not even really about the curriculum. It's about destroying and privatizing and profitizing public education. But here to share some thoughts, someone who knows much, much more about this than I do, I've asked my good friend Mark Weber to come and share some thoughts. He's a special analyst for education policy with the New Jersey Policy Perspective. He's also a lecturer at Rutgers University on education policy, music teacher, and one of the greatest bloggers out there. You can see his stuff at jerseyjazzman.blogspot.com. Mark, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick. I was just saying it's been a while and I love coming on. So it's always a treat. Thank you for having me.
Well, what better time when public education is being under attack from every direction and you've got crazy people wanting to make policy and you've got a lunatic talk radio host who is now going to be in charge of history for educational videos in Florida and who knows where else. What could possibly be the reason that I reached out to you?
You said what could be a better time, maybe what could be a worse time, right? When you're a teacher or when you've got kids, you think the summer, that's downtime. Right. That's not when anything happens at school. But the last month has just been crazy town. There's just one ridiculous thing after another. And sometimes it's hard to keep them straight. You were talking in the previous segment about people who work in retail and how like it's hard to get people to do that job anyway, because it's a tough job. And then you keep piling things on top of people and you wonder how much more they can take. And I was thinking about that with this thing in Arkansas. So AP I think most of your listeners know, but just in case, the advanced placement courses are college level courses that are offered to high school students. And they're a great deal because you can get actual college credit in high school, not have to pay college tuition for it. And a lot of times it sets you up to be admitted into a more competitive school if you have those credits. Now, there are some things we can argue with about whether AP is exactly the best way to do this. And people disagree on these things. But in general, you know, there are a lot of positives to it. What happened in Arkansas, apparently, is that it didn't even go out as an announcement from the governor's office or from the Department of Education. Somebody signed on to a registration system and all of a sudden a message came up, no, this is no longer going to be accepted for high school credit. And think about all the teachers this summer who did all the work to prepare for this course, a college level course, and all the kids who were planning on having this credit that they could put to their graduation, and it just gets swept away by a bureaucrat's push of a button like that.
Yeah.
It's that idea again of just piling on to regular people who are just trying to do the right thing, want to do something admirable, take a college course, teach a college course, but because of the political ambitions of somebody like a Sarah Huckabee Sanders, now we have this disaster in Arkansas. It's really, the other thing too is that they're canceling AP African American Studies. They're not canceling AP European Studies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So European history, which, we know who is behind European history, right? That's fine. You can study that. But when it comes to people who actually live in this country, who built this country, who were the ones whose toil and whose degradation was the economic base that this country was built on. No, we can't talk about that because that's politically inexpedient for the government.
But this is a good divisive tool, is what it is, because it does two things. One, it divides people in the general populace. It divides parents because why do I want my kids to have to feel bad about this horrible stuff? And then more importantly, it gets people who are who are fed up, like the cashier at the grocery store going, I'm tired of dealing with craziness. I'll go do something else. It's the same thing with teachers. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a teacher shortage going on, and I thought it was a couple hundred thousand teachers nationwide that were short because people are just leaving.
I think it was in South Dakota, like in the last week or two. I'm sorry, I apologize, I don't remember. I think it was South Dakota. Teacher of the year decided, I'm done. Huh? I'm done. And why was that? She was getting criticized for Facebook posts that on her own account that were supportive of LGBTQ folks. And apparently she was getting hassled and was getting all kinds of extra scrutiny of her work. And that is the sort of thing where it's like, hey, wait a second, you're not paying me that much to begin with. You've put all this bureaucracy on top of me, on top of the job, where really what I want to do is teach. And now you add this to it. Why would anybody stay? You used the word divide though earlier, and I've been thinking about this. I'm a teacher, so I always think in mnemonic devices, right? What's going on? Divide is definitely one thing, but it's really three: divide, defund, destroy.
Right.
So the divide is over things like curriculum. That's the whole point of school choice, is that we're all going to go to our separate corners. We can't have one unifying experience of public school to bring us all together. We've just apparently given up on the American experiment, and everybody's going to go off and
That whole melting pot thing doesn't work anymore.
Right. But that is built on this chronic defunding of the public schools, which has been taking place. I think it's really important to understand this. The places where quote unquote school choice has been rising up have been these places where schools have been chronically defunded. Pennsylvania, great example. I mean, the legislature, just the last few weeks, the Republicans in the legislature came out and said, we have a school funding decision in Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania system has been found unconstitutional, right? And this was clear and unequivocal.
Right.
Now, how are we going to do that? And what do the Republicans say? More school choice. So it's defunding and dividing, and that's what leads to destroying.
No, as I say, it's all about dividing us and then privatizing. You've gone a little bit further of explanation, but it's all the same. I mean, it's all about divide and conquer and then privatize and profitize.
Right. And again, the upshot of this is what, one of the biggest things that we're seeing right now is this fleeing from the teaching profession. Maybe I was foolish, but I actually was having some hope coming out of COVID, because there was a renewed sense that schools were important teachers were important. There was a great fear that we were going to have a huge exodus out of the profession immediately following COVID. And while we had some attrition, it wasn't as big as we kind of feared. What's happened, unfortunately, though, is that the pipeline going in it's slowly being turned off. And now we're getting it down to a dribble. We're seeing fewer and fewer people who are going into the profession. And part of that, you know, what happened again, what a crazy couple of weeks we've had. So the defunding of West Virginia University, I don't know how many of your listeners have been following this, but, you know, this is a school that is being basically stripped for parts at this point. And we're talking, there have been reports out about humanities being cut and programs in the sciences being cut. What's the one thing they're looking at? Education. Defunding the education administration programs and special ed programs. West Virginia University, I double checked the data, is the biggest provider of teacher training in the state. Well, what happens when your flagship university shuts down teaching teachers? You put up yet another barrier toward people entering the profession.
See, this is if I can stop you here, this is where I disagree with you. Because the conservative ideology is we don't need those credentials. We don't need you to go to those schools. What we need are we need theocrats to go in and teach the only book that really matters. I've got friends who have explained to me what the future of education is going to be. And it's not your government schools, Mark. It's not those government schools. It's going to be good, God-fearing Christian schools. We're going to teach kids what they need to know out of the good book. That's the mentality. So they don't care about education. They don't care about credentials. They don't care about any of that. They care about destroying the government schools.
There's one place where they do care about it, Rick, and that's for their own kids. Like a lot of these people, you know, they will defund somebody else's school, but they will pay a pretty penny for their kid to get the sort of education that they think is important. So then the argument that comes back from that is, well, you want to deny that to all kids. Let's have all kids have that private school education. Okay, are you willing to pay, what is it now at the Hill School where the Trump boys went? About $45,000 a year if you're you're not even living on the campus? Yeah. Are we willing to pay that much?
In fact, I had a state senator.
And the answer, of course, is not.
I had a state senator on, you know, several years back, who's now been outed, you know, out of office, had a sex scandal go on. But he was the guy who introduced one of the first voucher bills here in Pennsylvania. And I had asked him if his voucher bill, if I got this wonderful golden ticket, if I could send my kids to the Abington Friends School in Philadelphia, which I know charges, I think, like 45, 50 grand a year for kindergarten. And he told me, absolutely. You're going to get that. And his own bill didn't say that. His own bill said I would get what my school district paid and I would have to fork up the rest of it. But he didn't even know that. But they've sold this to people that, yeah, you're going to be okay because you're going to get this golden ticket. And this golden ticket is going to get you into those exclusive places like you just said, when the reality is that's not what it's about at all.
Yeah. You and I've talked about this before. There was education philosophy writer Martin Hollis wrote a paper years ago about education as a positional good. And it was the idea that my kids.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Good education, but mine is. That is a net plus for me in this kind of way of thinking of positional goods. And it's indicative of what you were talking about in the previous segment about us being mean to each other, us not caring about each other, us not having civic values. You know, so many of our American civic values are tied up in the idea of free public schools available to everyone, teaching certain common core values. And it's disheartening to me to see how quickly some people want to throw that away. Having said that, poll after poll after poll after poll, time and time again, you will find people say that they are concerned about the state of education in America, but they will also say they love their own local school. They love their own kids' teacher. They love their own kids' principal. It's one of the great constants in polling that we see over and over again. People value being able to have their kid attend a public school that's democratically run, where everybody gets a say in a democratic process, where it's open, where it's transparent, and where it's free, and everybody who lives within the borders is given an education. Yeah. It's sad to think about how quickly we want to throw that away for the promise of results that have been shown time and time again. I mean, every major study of major voucher programs has shown that they have worse outcomes, and don't believe the cherry pick nonsense that tells you otherwise. That's just, it's not true. But not only that, the idea that we would give up so easily that we can share some common values of tolerance, of decency, of patriotism, we should be able to have that common
I agree with you.
Place where we all sit. And it's, again, it's, to me, it's sad and it frankly unpatriotic to give up on that so easily.
So this is where I want to finish up with this, because Florida is now going to start using these Prager University, Prager Kids videos that are the most generous I can be is a rewrite of history. I've been calling them Schoolhouse Rock for Nazis, because that's basically what they are. I'm curious your thoughts.
I think you have to be our age to get that joke, Rick.
yeah, okay.
I'm not sure people in their 20s.
When I was a kid, back in the old days, we used to have cartoons.
Right.
And that's anyway. What these are. These are basically cartoons of rewritten history, basically saying, slavery wasn't a bad thing. Instead of taking slaves, what would you rather have us do? Just kill them instead? I mean, there's a lot of craziness in these videos, Mark.
Yeah, I'm aware of some of the other things that Prager's done, and it's nonsense. But I didn't get until this past week to see some of the ones that they're actually going to allow to be used in Florida schools. And there was one with Frederick Douglass, and it was cartoon Frederick Douglass talking with two little kids who happen to be white. Surprise, surprise, about how he was working within the system. And he was trying to change the system.
And the Constitution's a great document.
Right. Now, what I thought was the whole point of this is to stand up because there's a fear of indoctrination, except you couldn't find a better example of indoctrination than that. If you really cared about learning about Frederick Douglass, why wouldn't you use his own words? Why wouldn't, for example, you have a cartoon of Frederick Douglass giving his famous 4th of July speech, where he says, what is, what are Black Americans supposed to think about when the 4th of July is happening, right? And he talks about all of the deficiencies in the country, all the broken promises and so on. Why not have that? And the reason why is this is indoctrination. This is the hypocrisy of this movement, that the very thing you say you're standing up against, the very thing that you say you want to protect children for, you are engaging in the most egregious and the most historically unrepresented way possible. You're not giving kids Frederick Douglass's own words and letting them figure out for themselves what it means. You are literally rewriting what he says and then trying to sell it as some historical truth when in fact it's absolutely not. But again, what you said about homeschooling is absolutely correct. Hey, can I say one thing
quick
real quick? We lost the last couple of weeks a great champion of public education. Darcy Simarusti was the comms director at the Network for Public Education. She was a blogger here in New Jersey. She was known as Mother Crusader. She worked tirelessly on behalf of public schools. She had a long battle with cancer, and I already miss her. We got to keep this fight going for Darcy. We got to keep this fight going for her family. We got to keep this fight going for everybody like her who cherished public schools, cherished what they did for her family. So, you know, Darcy, all of our love to you and your family.
So what can people do? I mean, you know, the reality is you're right. You know, when I talk to people, you know, they believe there's so much going on out there that they don't see. They've been sold that, you know, all of this indoctrination and grooming is happening, that there are drag shows in every classroom and every library in the country is full of books trying to turn their children one way or another. And that, you know, that's out there. Now, their school's okay, because as you've pointed out, their teacher's okay, but we got to protect all those others. What right. do we do? I mean, because the right is organized, and there's a lot of money behind this. You know, the Jeffrey Yazes of the world and the big funders who want to destroy, you know, the Betsy DeVosses who want to destroy public education. What do people do?
So there was a great story out of Granbury, Texas, tiny little district, I get in Texas, which, of course, is Greg Abbott's Texas. And, you know, as egregious as Florida in terms of destroying schools, rural Texas schools in particular are taking a huge hit. And a school board member, conservative, radically right wing, got herself onto the board, sneaks into the high school and turns off the lights in the library, thinking she's not going to get caught. She's there with her phone and taking pictures of books, trying to find smut. And the assistant principal walks by and sees this flashing light going. This is like early in the morning, I guess. Sees this flashing light in the library when it's dark, and he goes over, what's going on? And he finds this person, and there's a whole thing. And the superintendent, apparently, and I think the principal too, stand up to this school board member, and apparently the community does too. These people have gone too far, and it's become, even if you are adamantly on the political right, even to you, you know, these people are going too far. They're making life impossible for your kids' teachers. They're making it impossible for your principals. They are ruining the schools. They are not protecting the investment that we're making in the schools. What we need are more teachers, administrators, parents, concerned citizens standing up to these people and saying, that's enough. That's enough. We're not putting up with this anymore. You know, again, there was a parent who went viral in Houston this week, standing up to Mike Miles, the state-appointed superintendent, who decided to turn all the libraries into discipline center.
And detention centers, yeah.
And this mom, she's one mom, but she stood up and she said, that's it. Enough's enough. I'm not putting up with that anymore. It's going to take that. But people are out there. They care about their schools. They love their schools. If we stay organized, if we stay engaged, we're going to ride this out because this is not what people want.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's what, at the end of the day, politicians are going to go along with what people want. At least that, at
I
least
hope
that is.
I hope you're right.
That is my
hope. I'm concerned about the future for kids in this country. If they're watching their parents do the kind of things that you just said, breaking into libraries, the kind of antics that I see at school board meetings of people making threats. I mean, these are the role models that these kids are going to grow up to emulate. And
yeah.
this idea that we don't respect each other. And, you know, like I said, you know, the Brooks piece about, you know, how'd we get so mean? This is a huge part of this.
Well, you know, my favorite political philosopher of the 20th century was George Carlin.
Yes.
And George Carlin, I think, nailed it. He said, what the owners of this country do not want is a well-educated populace, a populace
capable of critical thought,
well-informed and capable of critical thinking. That's right. And so That's the other thing you got to remember about.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, one in five Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges, but many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home.